Yep.
Let's go to Colossians 1 again. Start in verse 15. We read it, studied it yesterday, but I want to review some of it. Talking of Christ, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him are all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, with the exception of things that we think are evil. No. It doesn't say that, does it? The scriptures say that if Christ said in the red words, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was the express image of the Father. He is before all things, and by him or in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. There's a bunch of alls there, and there's nothing left out. So that which we, even the Antichrist, even Satan, was created by him and for him. Even the things you don't like were created by him and for him. Now we're going to get to the bad part. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him or in him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So again, we've come to the place that the only place that he is an enemy, or that was an enemy, was in your mind. Now he's reconciled you to he's reconciled you to him, but not your mind. Your mind is still there doing the same thing Satan is doing in the world. But as long as you give breath to your ideas or your thoughts, then you return to the kingdom of darkness. I think I could say that 55,000 times a day to each one of you, and 5 minutes later you'd forget it. Why?
Their minds aren't renewable.
They're only renewable if they're emptied, if they're purged. But the real question here is the definition of you. If you are totally honest with yourself, you have constructed yourself. Some of you have spent a lifetime trying to make you. Just think of the number of times you've saw something or heard something or tried to change something so that it all slowly but surely over many, many years, you developed a template by which you see the world, and that template is your definition of you. And it's so pervasive. But that the thing that you've got to see as the definition of you are the attempt to be, which is the motivating force. You're trying to be something, is the essence of sin. I mean, the exhortation of being, of just to be, instead of trying to be, is it's almost impossible for us to hear. Why? Your identity was created by you in response to stimulus, in response to moving toward what you think is good and moving away from pain, moving towards, moving away. And that molded the false you. Is it possible that you can see that all that is a masquerade? Think of Fifi or Fiona. She has no idea. She's starting to. But for most of her life up until now, she didn't concern herself with her identity. She just was. When she hurt, she cried. When she hungry, she yelled. When she was, but it wasn't because she was trying to create an identity. It was just being in the same way that Christ did. It's almost impossible. Remember, the reason that Satan fell, according to these ancient commentaries, was that he looked first at this crying little baby that was incontinent, that couldn't do anything to protect himself, and said, "I can't worship that." Then he went forward in time to the cross, where again it was this helpless, bloody, in pain being, and said, "I can't worship that." Can you worship? Can you be with the wise men and worship that little baby? Or can you be at the foot of the cross and worship the crucified one? This is the question. Can you worship your own weakness? Can you purposefully become weak at every breath? Can you empty yourself? You will, if you know for a certainty that you're the Antichrist, that anything about your mind is the one that has set himself up in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. What is it that you're trying so hard to protect that causes you to get your feelings hurt? That causes you to stand up in anger, that causes you to rebel against the truth? What is it?
It's like trying to protect the fact that I am weak and vulnerable and inept and feeble and any other.
But do you see how you sell your birthright for much less than Esau did? One of these Christian cookbooks specializes in lentils because they are so good for you that Esau sold his birthright for them. Lentils. See, they say they say that the porridge was made of lentils. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, or by your works which were evil, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So by faith that Christ is your life, you are holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. It's God's good pleasure to give you all things. There is nothing in the universe to be concerned about. You're living in 100% total dependence on Him. You rest. You're at peace. Up jumps the evil one. Up jumps the son of perdition. Why? Is it possible for you to lose the capacity to think that any moment you're in should be different than it is? I hope. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, where I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is lacking or behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. It's one of the most important understandings in the universe, that whatever afflictions that are taking place are filling up the afflictions of Christ. They're not afflictions of you. They're filling up the afflictions of Christ for his body's sake. And they're not going to be more than you can take. They're going to be exactly what's right for his body's sake, which is the church. There is no... I got to tell you. J.W. called me a couple days ago. And he'd gotten an email that said that from this woman, and said that he had been his organization had been chosen by her for her will. She's very sick, and his organization was to receive $10 million. And so the first thing he did was call me to see whether or not. And I said, J.W., where is the email from?
Nigeria.
And it had very specific instructions that he would be contacted next by her attorney because she was going into the hospital and she was so weak. She wasn't expected to live very long. Now, what would happen if somebody, J.W. knew it was, he intuited it was wrong, and he called me to see if I had heard of anything like that. And I said, J.W., it's gone, it's wrong, it's bad, it's evil. It's trying to pull you away from the mystery. What would pull you away from the mystery? Probably he'll get it. I told him to go ahead and answer because just to play the game out. But I said, I promise you what you'll hear next. You'll hear from her attorney. He did hear from the attorney. And then the next step is you won't hear anything for a while, and then some email will come because of the problems in international banking or some such thing. But they need $10,000 to complete the transaction so he can receive his $10 million.
Small price to pay.
For 10 beans.
Late and I have a friend that, from college that tried to scam us from Nigeria. And we went to college with him. I mean, it seemed like he was scamming us.
Actually, he got his address wrote down. Look at that.
He's probably in Nigeria. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up or fulfill that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. That's why Paul could glory in afflictions. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations. In Greek it says from all ages, including this one, and from all generations, including this one. But is now made manifest to his saints. The Bible isn't to anybody else, but to those who have accepted and picked up his cross. It's the only ones the Bible is written to, that have accepted their death. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I've said this so often. If my job is the same as Paul's, and my job is to present you perfect in Christ Jesus, or present me perfect in Christ Jesus, if I have to do anything other than proclaim the perfection of Christ, then my job is impossible. Think about it. Think about it, that if you try in the slightest, then that incredible grace that's been poured out on you is no longer grace. The Holy Spirit won't let it be. If you try in the slightest, then you've returned to the kingdom of darkness. You've returned to the position of the whore. Because for you, Christ's death wasn't enough. Guard him. You see the simplicity of this? The Holy Spirit will cause the grace to become a debt if you try to do anything. Now, I know you all well enough to know how many times this incredible grace that you had to count it as a debt. And the evidence that you counted as a debt was that you thought that you or someone else wasn't doing enough. Do you understand that this condition, this being here, as soon, the minute it condemns itself, then it, as a mechanism, must judge someone else down. The minute. So the cosmic tell, or the tell in the cosmic poker game, if you're judging anyone, it's the tell that you still haven't accepted the blood of Christ. That you're still condemning yourself. Sweet Pete just about had all this down pat. Because he acted like the angel of light. But then you put him in charge of something and he becomes the dark overlord. Now, so, I mean, here we have Pete and then we have Harry. Harry never did become sweet Harry. I mean, Harry's never been sweet.
And
he ain't in charge of nothing. And he damn well isn't in charge of anything except some tapes. Inanimate objects.
And even then I argue with
But both are necessary in the body of Christ. You understand why? You understand? You see, each one of you have an affliction to fill up or to fulfill. That's really the affliction of Christ, but it's Christ in you to fulfill the mystery of the body. It's shaping, if you will, the body, if you forgive me this analogy. In the early years, it was the boundaries were clear. If you say you believed in Christ, a lion ate you. In varying times, there was difference. Just like what happens in the birth process in the womb. As the body is being formed, there's all kinds of crap that's going on that if you looked at it at any one moment in time, you would think it was a total failure. But I believe, and I've said this for years now, that now, for us at least, the test is very subtle. And the test is never, 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 never put your eyes on yourself for any reason. The only reason Pete becomes a dark overlord is because the guy condemns himself. The only reason Harry has never been sweet Harry is because he condemns himself. Because you condemn yourself because you haven't met the image of the you that you created or that was formulated by the vagaries and issues of your life. So when something happens, it reminds you that, oh my God, I'm not fulfilling this thing. I'm not being this what I'm supposed to be, or then it's self-condemnation. But in Pete's case, it just becomes overwhelming. In Harry's case, it becomes explosive outward. Does everybody see that? Now, in each one of us, there's a Harry and a Pete competing for our attention, or competing with Christ for our attention. Because all of us have false identities that we've created. And all of us, something will trigger it enough for us to get mad at somebody else. And all of us, it has something to do with that there's a deep secret place within us that you still haven't let the light shine in, and you will condemn yourself for something. It doesn't have anything to do with those things. You'll never fix those things. It has to do with leaving all of you behind. I haven't picked on Wade for a long time.
He's coming up.
Yeah. Do you ever notice how much alike in so many ways that Wade and Kevin and Bojo are alike spiritually? Do you ever notice that?
All three of them.
Hmm? Compare notes, see what you're going to wear. See what you're going to put on. Because their stuff is secret. They've learned the game really well. It's far more safer to be an observer but it's no longer safe. Far more safer. That's really good English. I should have.
You're a good talker.
Yeah. Can you see how this deception is so total? Because you forget that you have been perfected by one offering, that you will, your only job is to be presented perfect in Christ Jesus. Everything else can be just left behind. Let's go to I forgot where to go. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. We studied this the other day, but we talked a great deal about how all of the famous love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 13 says, "And now abide the faith, hope, charity, and these three, but the greatest of these is charity," or agape, or self-giving love. And then it says, "Follow after charity, and desire spiritual gifts." The word gifts isn't, in your Bible is gifts italicized? It means it's not in the word. It's desire spirituals, desire the spiritual life. "But rather that you may be, that you may prophesy." It's critical. It was critical, vital for me, and it's wild how it's happened. Because as a non-believer, I was a politician, so everything I said was measured, was designed to have an effect on whoever I was speaking to. If it was a pretty girl, it was one effect. If it was a powerful person, it was another effect. If it was, I was always trying to get something or protect myself in some way. But when I became a believer, God in His wisdom put me, I was on television hosting a Christian talk show, or co-hosting, 17 days after I became a believer. And I was being confronted with all of these Christian entertainers and Christian superstars, and they all came up dressed and, you know, perfectly, and hair coiffed, and you know, I was still watching what I said, and all of a sudden I exploded. The reason I exploded is this. I won't mention his name because there's a possibility. But this very large person, I hadn't given up smoking yet, and he was late coming in, and I was outside the studio and I was smoking a cigarette, and he berated me for smoking. "Don't you know that your body is the temple for the Holy Spirit?" And he was sitting right next to me. We had a round, you know, half a circle kind of talk show format. I reached over and grabbed his gut and got a handful of fat that was about bigger than my hand. And I said, "Well, don't you know that your body is a holy, you know, temple for the Holy Spirit? Well, you got a pretty fat temple." And it was like, from that point forward, I never again, as far as I can remember, thought about what I was going to say next or tried to protect what I was going to say next. Maybe I have, but I don't remember. Gary, you've been with me since 73. Have you ever seen me protect what I was going to say next?
Oh, there's an occasional wisdom pops in. You withhold things that should be said in that respect. But other than that,
no. Above all things, my brethren, I would rather, even more than love, I desire that you prophesy.
Contrasted with love.
Well, because
it's the evidence of love.
Well, the point of it is, you cannot, your normal tendency, the thing that you have learned and you and I learned and every person learned from the beginning of our self-awareness was watch what you say. And so what happened over years is this word prophesy has been come to mean tell the future instead of the bubbling forth, the nabi, the bubbling forth of whatever's there so the wine can be on the lees and all that you've heard me talk about. But if you don't prophesy, if you don't say what's there, then the process that God ordained, the process of filling up the affliction that's lacking in the body, in his body, cannot take place. Because you're measuring your words, you're figuring out what to say, you're waiting. Now the thing that I found that was so wild is once I did that and a bunch of elephants came out, a bunch of crap came out, which probably still does, not probably, I'm sure it still does, that then I found out that there are two witnesses that have never died, Enoch and Elijah, wisdom and prophecy. And it's their job to take care of it. Now, it's easy to justify that. You can, it's wisdom that I wouldn't say anything right now. That's why we have to be in body, because I promise you that if I ask you for your response, number one, your job isn't to sit around and think up something to say. That's just the evidence of cowardness. The secondly, though, is that you allow what's there to come forth. Well, I can't say that. Well, of course you can. Because if you don't, you're not filling up the affliction that is lacking in the body. Do you understand, really, at the core? Do you understand? Is there anybody that disagrees with what I've just said?
No, but I got a good picture of something here where of the two ways, if everybody is guarding and measuring and making up stuff, then what kind of body is that? You know, that's nothing. As opposed to if everyone is just giving what they've got. I mean, they're two different things so completely. This one is nasty and ugly and going into part of it. But this one's pure.
But to the appearance...
Yes, looks the
outside. From the outside.
No, in this appearance, in this context then, what the rabbi or the preacher or the minister, whatever you call them, the priest would say, would be measured. There would be defined liturgies of what to say. There would be written out speeches with a teleprompter. And so it would be, and the people would be well behaved and clean and nice clothes, and they'd be sitting. Isn't that what's going to happen? If the person that is the leader isn't prophesying, if his sermons are typed out and written as press releases, what does that say to the people that he's teaching? Anybody have any response?
Yeah, one second. Here where it says, brother, that you may prophesy. It's like, okay. But if you don't, bad stuff's going to happen to you.
Well, you're quenching the Holy Spirit, is what you're doing.
Body will be formed.
You're robbing both God and the body. I can think up of all kinds of things and reasons that I should protect what I say. I have more reasons than anybody. I might make somebody mad at me.
God forbid.
Yeah.
If I didn't know this about prophesying, we could have never have done what we're doing now with regard to investigations, etc. Because I would have been too afraid of the responses. What would somebody that I respect say? People I don't respect, I don't care what they say about me. I didn't care what they said before. I never cared what Democrats said about me. But can you see why your input is so vital? Can you see why that you cannot hold in your responses? You can't filter them through that which is cursed. Because anything you filter will be tainted by that template that you have previously defined as you.
Goes through that evil conscience.
Consider these things. Any response?
When you spoke about Satan seeing Christ at the two ends of his life, excuse me, what that causes me to, I can sort of reach back and touch the desire to distance myself from being, and a victim and powerless and all that kind of stuff. And I can also be aware of trying to fend off what I see coming, and also be aware of that is my state now. I mean, there's yesterday, tomorrow, and today, it's all kind of... But I have a real awareness that this construct is a response to the fear of that. And it's really, I mean, it's artificial. It's a thing made out of cardboard or something. But I can feel it.
Anything from the evil table?
It's like a treasured thing to me to think that the phone's going to ring.
Go ahead.
To think that there's too much there, and so, I can't let it out. There's too much there.
Yeah.
But that's not a lie.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
That's all right. What's going on?
Kevin?
Sure. I'll give you a call in just a few minutes. Thank you.
About further down in chapter 14, talks about an unbeliever comes in and sees what's going on, and the secrets of his heart are made manifest, falls down and worships God.
So you're reading ahead?
No, I...
See, he had already read ahead before, but the Holy Spirit just brought that to his attention just then.
Yeah. I'm practicing prophesying to hear this.
Who in here hasn't followed that word? Can I say?
Yeah. I was saying, the first time Angela and I showed up and observed what was going on, our response was, this is like some weird dysfunctional family that everybody just blurts out, idiot, or just whatever's there. Yeah, there's a group that's been together for years and years, and they really have no other connection other than being here. It's not like you're related or in business together. But that was so odd to see that, because that is such a contrast to whether I'm in a family or when I'm in a church somewhere. It's just, there are rules and there's inappropriate stuff and you just don't do that. But if I follow those rules, then the secrets of my heart aren't made manifest. And I can stay in control.
Yeah.
Go, Joe. What's going on?
Nothing. I'm just listening. It's fascinating. It's dangerous for me because I'm seem to be under pressure to do things differently, and I don't want to do things differently. I don't want to change. I am what I am. And if I'm misunderstood because of my perceived silence, that's on you.
Well, the only question is are you robbing the body by not speaking? Are you robbing God? From my perspective, you are.
On what basis?
Because whatever is going on in each one of us, whatever response to the word there is as important as whoever is speaking it, or more important.
I'm completely in agreement with that, but how is it that you say to me, I mean, how do you know what's in my head? How do you know where I'm coming from?
Well, I know from previous discussions that your life has been based on the need to be right before you said something.
Yeah, I remember that conversation in your room, and I'll probably never live that one down.
It wasn't just in my room. It was also on the way to Dr. Parents. It was also on the way to Dr. Eyes.
Well, those graven images are deeply etched in my pillars. There's no question of that. And I've got to destroy the pillars.
And the way that's... Well, the graven images are... You've mixed the metaphor. The graven images are the emotional idols. The molten images are the idols that were formed in emotion, how you should respond emotionally.
The graven ones are the ones that were etched by
parents and right.
Those are the ones I'm thinking about.
Well, all of us, but the point from God's standpoint, it means that we are, if you're not prophesying, it doesn't mean that you're going to hell or something, it just means you're still a child. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, I acted as a child. When I became an adult, I put away the childish things. Again, if you agree with what I'm saying, I'm not asking you to change, then you're not hearing it right. But if something touches you based on what I've said, then your internal response must be, Father, forgive me, I leave me behind, because I'm taking a stand on this issue. So if you believe, if you've heard what I've said, is that you, listen to me carefully. If you've heard what I've said, is that you should be different than you are, then you've heard wrong. If you've heard what I said, if it touched something in you, that you see that you do or don't do, then if your response is anything other than, Father, forgive me, instead of, I don't want to do that, then you're in trouble.
I understand.
You really hear it?
I do. I hear that perfectly clear.
Okay.
With clarity. But I sometimes feel pressure. Maybe it's perceived pressure. I'm sure that it is that I need to repent of. But I sometimes feel pressure that everyone wants me to say something, and the truth is I'm not being said.
Well, that may be true a few times. That's not true most of the time. Because, I know, because you talk to me about the Bible studies when we're alone. You talk to me about a lot of things when we're alone.
Right.
Well, I want you to talk to the people, because what you have to say is as important as what I have to say, maybe more so. So instead of waiting to talk to me, I want you to talk in here. Or wherever the body is.
But I do that. I talk to Harry. I talk to Pete. I talk to Gary.
I know you're talking individually, not in the minion, in the Seder, in the individually is not the issue. It's not the answer. You remember that idea? Yeah, this great scripture that wherever the eagles are there as the body, or the eagle is there as the body, or some such thing like that. The reason is that wherever the eagle is, there is no snake. So, this is the snake. And each one of us has to know that this thing has no more power in body. And so that's the time for the exhortation. I'm not saying the other times aren't. But throughout the 30 years that we've been together, some of us, the tendency has been, especially at the first, for everybody wanting to talk to me. And that's evil. And then it's changed a jillion percent since it was at the first. But the one constant that hasn't changed from the beginning is the need for there to be more speaking, prophesying in body for all of us. Except me. I talk too much anyway.
You know, the first time I heard, about the, prophesying, and like you said, not prophesying that you tell the future.
Bubbling out.
Right. Then, I don't know if I understood, but the fact is that's not what we were talking about, but it, meant in the part about, saying what's there and all of that, and I think I began to understand it a little bit. I became terrified. Because it's like, I've got too much bad stuff.
Join the club.
You let people know, It's like, I'd get strung up and run out of town, I don't know, overcoming that, or just not paying any attention to it anymore, or because the mind, it tells you that if you say certain things, you're going to be destroyed.
Well, that's the reason that we are so incredibly fortunate, because over time, we have seen that, like with Gary or Pete or Harry or Wade or John or Drasanna or the people that we've been here for a long time, there's nothing there's nothing you don't know about me, and I think I know most about you, and I know most about, I think I know everything about you, and there's never been any, I've never rejected you in any way. And the same is true for all of us. I mean, those fears that are so latent or so primal, if you will, are that's the reason that we're fortunate, because the body should be the place of safety for whatever is going on.
The thing you do reject is that false image we try to present to you.
Oh yeah, I get a little upset.
I remember saying something I thought was interesting or worthy of comment. You just ignore it, or you contradict it completely. You're not worshiping this person I created. I'm so proud of.
Why isn't this working?
I think a few of you have had that experience.
That's what it was.
Well, again, but it's not about me. It's about the importance of seeing that you are accepted as you are, and God brought all your works in you, and they are now sanctified to be, instead of somebody pointing a finger and saying, oh no, oh God, ew. It's a mystery how that whatever is going on. Many, many, many times, the most edifying thing is when somebody says the worst possible thing you can imagine.
Yeah. It's like we were talking last night at Bible study about sanctuary, and believing that this is a place of sanctuary, which to me is a place of safety, that you can be exactly who you are.
say it right, or like you used to get them done about social words.
I did that a few times. All righty. Take it, big guy.
Take it, Pete.